This is Sharing Space. Here, we start the conversation that will one day end mental health discrimination, but we need your help. Each week, we sit down and have an open and honest chat with a different guest sharing their mental health story. Be it their personal story, one of advocacy, or one from inside the mental health industry. To be a part of the initiative, all you need to do is listen to the various conversations and try to find something worth sharing from each. Then, take that information and use it to start a conversation outside of this space, and we're one step closer to ending mental health discrimination. This time, we speak with Jordan and hear his personal mental health story. I'm Allison Blaze, and welcome to Sharing Space on burst.co.uk. So I guess first off, if you just want to tell us a little bit about you.
That's so broad.
Yeah.
I'm a young man in my 20s, and I like a lot of music. I like listening to music. I like making music. I like keeping myself busy. I like doing a lot of things. And it's a good distraction all the time because I'm always doing something and that keeps me going. That's the best way to describe me, really.
Awesome. And because you were diagnosed with...
Oh, it's a difficult one because a different name is thrown around every time.
The current
name for it is hypodithemia.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Essentially, it's bouts of depression and anxiety that's sort of on and off. It's very unpredictable. It's sort of weekly to bi-weekly basis. But it's one of those things that doesn't have a solid definition. It's very hard to categorise. So it changes depending on who I'm speaking to and how long I've been in or out with a certain therapist or doctor, whoever I'm seeing.
Okay, and... the moment leading up to the process of your original diagnosis, mm-hmm. What were you going through? Like, what kind of made you decide, maybe this isn't normal, or maybe...
It's a strange one. Going right back to when I was very little, I must have been about 8 years old or something, 8 or 9. And when I was quite young, my parents split up. I don't want to cite that as the reason for it, but there's obviously a lot of evidence that could say that. Maybe about the age of 10, I had written a very long, what I would call a letter, which sort of outlined me feeling like I did. And there was a lot of like quite scary things. My parents found this somehow. I think I posted it online. I want to say on MySpace, quite strangely.
Mm-hmm.
And they found this, and I got a lot of questioning. And that's the first time where I know that something had slipped. And you know, at that kind of age, if I go back and speak to any of my teachers from school, they'll say that things changed for me. My grades dropped massively. There was something that happened, but it wasn't until I was about, I want to say 15-ish, maybe 16. I had had a long-term relationship, which a year and a half is pretty long for someone that's so young. And that ended quite in a difficult way. It sort of ended up being violent. I had a lot of problems. It was quite, not scarring, but hard on me. And at that point, I was like, I need to go and see someone because it was like the two events... made me realise there were things that were happening, but it's between that I noticed that maybe how I felt wasn't necessarily the same way as everyone else felt.
And what were you feeling?
It's different every time, and now that I've sort of grown more, it changes and I notice it in different ways, but it's always a feeling of kind of hopelessness. I guess as a typical cliche of feeling lonely when you're in a room full of people, not really connecting with people, spending a lot of time on your own, and sort of being involved with yourself. But that also runs alongside having trouble speaking to people and being around people because of the sort of social anxiety aspects. And on top of that, just sort of a general low mood and the inability to be genuinely happy for longer than, you know, 5-10 minutes or half an hour with some friends or something.
And have you found that difficult doing school, wanting to pursue a career? Like, that can have an impact. Has it impacted those areas?
I'd say it's impacted those areas in somewhat of a positive way. Without glorifying it, there's obviously these times where I'm particularly low, but on the other end of the spectrum, I can get quite manic. And that means that I can put my all into a lot of things very quickly. And I can spend 4 days of doing loads of things, coming up with loads of ideas. Eventually, I'll burn myself out, and then I'll just want to sleep because, you know, I've expelled so much energy. But it does mean that I can put myself sort of above and beyond the average of people my age and have been for the last however many years, because I will just go for everything. And it's sort of a case of I start finding it a challenge to get rejections for things, for trying to get some work or do certain different projects. Like, I'll take it as a challenge to try and get as many no's as possible, because then I know that eventually there'll be some kind of yeses coming from that. So it's motivated me, and it's sparked a lot of, I guess, excitement to do things. But then on the other side of things, when I've been particularly down or had sort of the negative side of all of that, it can slow you. It can mean that you don't want to do anything at all. I'd like to think it balances it out, and I come across as relatively normal. But it just depends on the frequency of each side of it and how that works in whatever time and whatever space I'm in at that time.
Yeah. Going back to, you said you came out of a difficult relationship, and that's kind of that moment where you realized maybe an outside opinion was needed. Mm-hmm. Did you find that decision difficult?
Really, yes. And looking back at it now, and recently, maybe about 6 months ago, I ended up removing a lot of old stuff from different social media profiles and finding messages around that time, and realized that my moods and my reactions to things didn't help the situation that I was in. So I must have only sort of been trying to help myself out there, but I think it was just clasping at anything that would give me some kind of support. It's definitely not been the worst time I've had, but it was sort of a wake-up call to doing something about it. I think I went in because of the relationship and realised there were underlying things because of that. And then things have just sort of developed since in different places and different people I've gone and seen following that.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring that up, because kind of a common theme that's developed in the process of these interviews and people's stories that I've talked to is very much the importance of your support system and the importance of people not necessarily understanding what you're going through, but just being able to accept and support that in whatever capacity you need. Mm-hmm. And that has made the decisions to potentially get help easier, and also just the journey of learning to cope and wanting to do that easier. So that's something that you found to be very true, needing that support to make those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of times where I'll think, no, I can go this alone, and I'll just get on with it and it'll be fine. And that's part of the cycle, it seems. There'll always be a part where I sort of go up and then come back down again, and it will always be just right, just before the absolute, or maybe sometimes just after the absolute lowest I could get, I then realise I need to get some kind of help, which is not always great, because by the time I then get to some kind of help, or there's been an appointment set up or something, I feel fine again. And then I can't really describe how I feel when I have been down, when I'm feeling okay, because you don't seem to remember. Everything's very hazy. It's very difficult to understand when you're in that place, but it's even worse when you're not, because it's hard to actually know what it feels like. You sort of forget.
Oh, that's interesting. So for me personally, part of my coping strategies are to see someone regularly for those reasons, because you never know when something's going to come up. And if I have an established relationship with that person, I'm a lot more open. The conversation is easier. And it's just how I cope with, you know, things that I go through. But when I came here, just the way it's set up, I don't have that access. Like, I was pretty much denied that on the basis that I've had therapy in the past, you know. But it's like, if that kind of idea could change, that there's no such thing as having too much therapy, or, you know, that relationship not being important, would that make it easier then to maybe potentially see someone regularly, so then when it came up, you could just easily make an appointment and be able to talk to them when you were feeling those feelings?
Mm-hmm. The thing that is a surprise to a lot of people and shouldn't be is that everybody needs therapy. On some level, everybody has something which they need to either talk through or get through, or understanding how something works. It's very much a spectrum for everybody, and everyone can be placed somewhere along there, but no one's ever quite perfect, because we're all developing, we're all growing, and something can change in any space of time that means that they then need to have some kind of help and some kind of support. We're all very social creatures, and the way we've always dealt with that is by being around other people. The way that I've sort of been able to support myself properly, whilst especially being at university, is the fact that I can just go sometimes straight in. There could be someone around who's not already got an appointment, and they'll take you on straight away. And that's been helpful, because at that time, I've been able to get support as soon as I need it. There's been one time I can recall when I was in a lecture and I couldn't physically be in that place anymore. I needed to get out. And I I was able to be in a room on my own with the counselling team. So I had my own space, and then I went and I was able to sit down with someone who actually went through things and started offering, eventually after a conversation, different options for me to look into for being able to get more support or further support in different ways. And even it's sometimes as far as more counselling or different kinds of therapy. Sometimes it's things you can work on yourself. Sometimes it's even as simple as helping you get into a space that's going to be helpful for you. So that thing for me at that time was being able to get in a music room, because I could put myself straight onto a piano and then that's fine. I can distract myself enough. So it's having someone who can at any given moment give you some kind of support. And I think without that, a lot of people then rely on close relationships or family or friends to be that kind of support. And it can cause issues with people, because if you're relying on a partner, say, that's a lot of stress for them, and that can put a lot of pressure on your relationship. And then if that relationship ends, then you feel lost. The person that's been with you feels some kind of relief, but then they've also had to end a relationship because they couldn't support someone else. It puts a lot of pressure on one person, so having someone externally is always beneficial.
It's interesting, because there was one thing that you brought up in there that for some reason, I guess I've thought about it in potentially personal conversations with friends or family members. So in my undergrad, I minored in health and wellness. In one particular class that I took, I had a professor who said exactly what you said, that we all fall on a spectrum. But even within certain disorders, you know, we specifically discussed OCD. Everyone's going to fall on a different level of being able to just handle things that don't follow a certain order, or not having certain habits, to the extreme of needing to follow the certain habits, needing to have a certain order, whatever it is and how that manifests. But it's like, yeah, I mean, everyone might have an organizational system that they like and it bothers them if it's not done that way. And that's okay. It just means that you're in that space on that spectrum. And the same is true for anything. I mean, I've even heard the saying that everyone suffers from a little bit of dyslexia, which, I mean, because it happens. Sometimes you read something wrong. Sometimes you write something down wrong and you think it's, I mean, I've misspelled my name before. And then I go back and I look and I'm like, that's not my name. So yeah, and it's nice, because it's one of those moments where it's like, you've brought something to me.
Yeah,
you've been able to help me. So yeah, that, I don't know, just thank you for bringing that up and just being able to touch on that, because I feel like that is something that sometimes society doesn't understand, therefore the general public doesn't understand, that just because you might fall somewhere on that spectrum means you're okay or you're not okay. It's just everyone somewhere on that spectrum.
There's a lot of contributing factors to everything, and what a lot of people like to think of other people as, it's either on or off. You either have something or are something, or you're not something. And everyone is multifaceted. Everyone has so many different things that are building them and parts of who they are. And there are different parts of any kind of disorder. I don't like that term in general, but just any kind of personality traits, let's say, because sometimes it's not even necessarily a medical condition. There's a chemical side, and that's something like I believe that I may have. Is the chemical side, because I have no physical control over this at all. But then there's also the mental side and how you're wired to think and act. And it's very prevalent in a lot of people that feel a very certain way, and a lot of people do have feelings of depression and anxiety. And that's not necessarily because something's wrong or broken with them, but because sometimes the way that you've lived your life so far or been brought up means that you can't process certain things in certain ways. And it's really interesting with young people, because a lot of the situations that young people are in, they have it so hard because they're growing up and doing so many things, but then at the same time they haven't done any of those things before. As an adult, you can look back and say, oh, I've done this thing, so I know how to deal with that situation. But when you're growing up, you don't have that. Like, everything is new for the first time. So it's very easy for people to be hard on themselves, thinking that they're wrong or broken or something's not working with them. For example, when I was growing up, I always had really, really big troubles speaking to people just out of the blue, approaching anyone. This could be doctors, this could be anyone that I'm not already involved with. So making appointments for things was always awful. But also on the phone, I couldn't make any phone calls at all, ever. And that's partially to do with the fact that I just didn't have the experience of doing that. And it takes a lot for people to realise that they can help themselves, but they also do need to have support to be able to show them and guide them where they need to go with things.
I agree. from personal experience. But I want to kind of go back to your process.
Okay.
Because you sought help and you've used the university services, which has been very helpful. So that's good to know for anyone, because I think every university has counseling services.
Yeah.
So if you're going through something, that's important to look at. But also, I guess just kind of discussion, because everyone finds their own way and everyone needs their own coping strategies, because you're just learning, like you said, some of it's chemical, some of it's things that may have happened in your childhood, just the way your brain's wired, whatever it is, you're just learning to deal with you. You're just learning to cope with the external world, which is not custom fit for you, and making it work for you. So in that process, kind of what strategies did you use, whether it be within therapy, outside of therapy? What did you kind of find helpful or maybe not helpful?
So I think, as I mentioned, there's a sort of two sides to how my condition works. And there's that up and then there's the down again. And I've started noticing more and more recently when I'm coming in and going out of the down phase, we'll call it. And for a very long time, I would try and seek support when I was getting low or was low, and then wouldn't need it by the time I was okay again, which is why it's been so long without any kind of way of diagnosing it or actually working out coping mechanisms. And sometimes you can't diagnose these things, and I'm okay with not having a name for it, because it might just be part of who I am, and that's totally fine. So for a long time, it was difficult to get support and work out the kind of the strategy of how to do that. But really, it's a case of, I think, learning how your own moods work and just being really aware of those things is probably the most important part, because you're the only person that's going to know how you react to things and how your moods change and work. And the awareness of what's sort of triggered you into feeling in a certain way. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, as someone who, there's no reason for why my moods change. And the amount of sort of checking in the world can't necessarily work that out. But in a lot of cases, even like either writing it down or just being really aware of if something has changed your mood or something's happened, can be a good way of working that out so that in future you can get support from someone else who can guide you through it. One thing I've been trying a lot recently is noticing when I feel in a very particular way, and sometimes it's very subtle. I'll give you an example from the other day. I was having a conversation with someone and I felt really anxious for some reason. I have no idea why. And because I know I was only speaking to that person, had no other external stimuli, it was something that came up in the conversation that would have made me feel really anxious. And being able to stop the conversation and actually speak to them and say, I feel really strange right now. Has there been anything we've discussed that could have made me feel like sort of endangered? Is a very good way of them also then backtracking in the conversation to point out if you've discussed something that's a little bit scary, like, you know, your life or anything that's happening sort of in the future or whatever else. Just little things like that can start you on a downward spiral. So actually being able to talk to other people and let them know that you're feeling in a certain way is great for them to help support you when you need to work things out.
So just that basic communication and being able to be honest with people about how you're feeling.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm a very, very open person when it comes to these kind of things because I grew up not having a great childhood around other people in school and stuff. So I felt like being always open meant that no one could ever learn something about you and use it against you. And that's carried on into my adult life, which has been helpful now because I can say to people, look, I feel this certain way. Can you give me a hand in working that out? And I'm not scared of doing that. But I realise it can be difficult for other people to open up. And that's not necessarily fault of their own, but also people being accepting of that is incredibly important because, you know, everyone goes through different things. Everyone's struggling and fighting their own battles. And being sympathetic and empathetic towards other people is the best way to make sure that they're doing the best they can, as well as them sort of returning the favour for you if you ever need that help.
I think that's just kind of an amazing sentiment. And I think it's also important to recognise, because just listening to the different conversations from these interviews, but also my experience, some of the people that I've been closest to and their experiences and just our private conversations, everyone handles things differently. And for example, like some people find it really uncomfortable to seek professional help because they don't want to let someone in. I personally, that was kind of my go-to because I don't like feeling judged by the people closest to me. So I oftentimes find it easier to tell an external person that first before I can tell my friends and family. But the same is true because I was quite the opposite for those reasons, in the sense that I had a lot of trouble communicating when I was feeling a certain way or when problems were arising. And I think that caused a lot of problems in itself of not being able to say, hey, wait a minute, this is making me feel this way. It's something that I've had to learn to do. And that's so, it's important to note because it does make a difference. But it's also nice to hear that, you know, that was something that you kind of already had in your back pocket. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those ways where exactly like everyone works through these things differently. There are key elements that are important, but everyone's going to react differently and everyone's going to take their own time to do certain things. Hear the rest of Jordan's story on the next Sharing Space. Thanks again to our guest Jordan and to you for taking part of the Sharing Space initiative. Remember, listening to these conversations is a great starting point, but we need to move the conversation into the outside world to reach our primary goal. If this sounds uncomfortable, use this program. Maybe the first time, just send a link to the homepage. Then, ask that person what they thought about some of the stories. Then, have a more in-depth conversation. The link to the Sharing Space homepage and all previous conversations, including this one, is www.birst.co.uk/sharing-space. You'll also find helpful tools and information about the various topics brought up in each of the conversations on the Sharing Space homepage. This has been a burst.co.uk production. It was produced and presented by me, Alison Blaze. The music was composed by Michael L. Worrell. The conversation was pre-recorded.